We're blessed, aren't we?
We are.
Do we have any announcements today? Ms. Maxine?
I just want to let everybody know that the Ladies Aid Auction, we netted $495. And we'd like to thank all the people that donated the things for the auction, the buyers, and also for Tim Mason, who was the auctioneer, and I think Bob's out of the job now. Because he made it interesting and fun. And, so we thank all of you for that. Thank you. And also, some time ago, I had ordered my great nephew some videos, like One Nation Under God, Christmas in America, and Declaration of Independence. If anybody has any grandchildren they would like to view these with, feel free to let me know and you can have them. I don't have any grandchildren myself, but so just let me know.
I'd like to remind people that we are having Bible study this week at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. We had that little break there because of counseling. So, either Tuesday evening, 7.
And along with that, just so you know, this Tuesday after Bible study, we were supposed to have question answers with our pastoral candidate, but we have postponed that till the next Bible study, which will be September 6th. So again, if you have any questions that you would like for that evening, you can write them down and either put them in the box or you can hand them to me. It's going to be very informal, and I want it to be comfortable for you as well as the candidate. I want them to feel at ease, okay? So that's September 6th, right after Bible study. Any other announcements?
Did you bounce about your calendars?
Thank you, Bob. I had shoe boxes right down, but I forgot about the calendars. I am going to sell calendars again. Of course, we all know everything's prices are going up. I was going to let my price stay at $7 and just not have that extra dollar income, but I was advised, well, gee, I would buy them for 10, so I don't think 8's a problem. So we're going to go with the 8. As you know, it's 50-50. We pay $4 for the calendar, and then we have $4 profit. So the calendars are for $8. There's a sign-up sheet back there as to put down your name and how many calendars you want. And that will go for Vacation Bible School. Okay? Shoe boxes. Being mindful of shoe boxes for kids. I haven't got the list yet from Sandy as to what her shoe boxes will be, because she had said about the soccer balls and some other things had went up. So just be mindful of that. She's not making a profit by any means. She just does it for the outreach. She loves working with the shoe boxes, gathering stuff and all that. So let's be in prayer about the shoe boxes and keep in mind to stash a little cash back so that you can either make your own shoe box or you can purchase one from her church. With that being said, the Ladies Aid is gracious enough this year to pay $500 towards the shipping of the shoe boxes. Any other announcements?
I have one, but I also...
I'm sorry, I always tend to go to one.
Yeah, I'm just announcing for Lisa that anybody that has anything for the newsletter, she would need it by Wednesday. So if there's anybody that's posting anything, once it's posted in the newsletter, please email that to her for by Wednesday.
Any others?
Don't forget communion, the second Sunday of September, 10:30, to have it here during the worship service. Communion.
Any others? All right. Call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 81, verses 10 through 16. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn hearts to walk in their own counsels. My, isn't that today? Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey from the rock, and I would have satisfied you. With those words, maybe Valerie has any word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. You have given us so many blessings. You have answered so many prayers. Now we just quiet our hearts and our minds, and we just meditate on your word. And we lift praises up to you, Father. Thank you for this church, your church. Thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you and learn your ways. Father, always be with us, guide us, and direct us. And we ask all these favors and blessings in your Son's holy name. Amen. Okay, now we can all participate in him. Let's do Psalm 100, A Joyful Noise Unto the Lord. 148.
Please stand if you're able.
Miss Wanda?
praying for Francis. Also, my sister-in-law was put in the hospital this week. She has a UTI and some other complications. And as of yesterday, she was still there. Our neighbor and longtime friend, Paul Bristol, was also put in the hospital. He is on Eliquis for blood thinner, and he was dead in blood. So they think that that's probably what his problem was. So I haven't really had a follow-up on him.
Judy?
My niece on the prayer list, Kelly Endor. She was in an ATM accident over the weekend, and she's down in Washington Hospital.
Tony?
Greg and Diane's her father-in-law. Sam Sambal, we need to put him on his knees. And Ricky and Alan and Debbie and Anna and Jigs also.
So I might as well just put Baker family.
Yeah, Baker family, yeah.
Because
it gets longer and longer.
Yes. Okay, so we'll just say Baker family.
Yeah, that's fine.
Miss Nance?
Yeah, what joy is your birthday today? And the other thing is, if concerned, is Dave's still having trouble with her back. That's why she's here.
Yes. I talked with her this week, and she said she wants so much to be here, but her back is just giving her a fit. I saw another hand. Danny?
I'm going to do the same thing. Peter's family.
The Peter's family, okay.
Nationally, our government leaders that we have desperately need help.
Yes.
That's all we want to take care of them, and we want them in the right direction. And also, the church here, Brother Larry being with us, it's a privilege and an honor.
Yes.
A blessing. And, it is your birthday, you say?
Mm-hmm.
I think. And the young people, especially the young people, because their minds are so influenced by the world we're sending that they don't hear everything directly and truly. But you know, we need to sing a birthday song.
Yes.
Well, with that, we'll put Linda in there too, and Travis is not here, right? Linda and Travis's birthday is tomorrow. And Deb's was yesterday.
Okay, let's do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Frank, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I want to continue to remember Pat. And also, I heard, got word that Pastor Henry lost her husband.
Yes, I was going to mention her.
Okay, we need to keep him. Is that one in our prayer list? Of course, Ralph, Bob, and the rest of the ones in here that have been having, been having problems with their health and so forth, so we want to continue to pray for them. And somebody else, I heard that Linda's brother, Kramer,
Sydney's granddaughter was in a motorcycle accident, Carol. And she is recovering, but her face was pretty messed up. Also a joy that thank everybody that did come out Thursday night for the picnic. It was a great turnout. I tried to count everybody, including the kids. I got 50 people counting the kids there. And I thought it was a very good turnout, excellent food, and a great night.
Good time of fellowship.
Yes, it was.
That's what we need, more fellowship with those of like faith, so that we can keep that armor strong so that we can go out and rub elbows with those who don't have faith. Maybe we can pull them in.
And it was nice having Brother Billy there, Sam, and Dylan.
Yes. Let's remember to keep our schools in prayer. School started back, and the mornings when I see my little neighbor, she goes down and gets on the bus, and I just pray that her day will be blessed with safety and that she will learn things that she should learn and things that she shouldn't, she won't hear. So let's just keep our schools. Bradley? Yes. Yes, indeed. Any others?
It's good to see Jeff back with his team over here.
Yes.
His complicated scheduling there, difficult, maybe possible to be here. So. Look at here.
Any others? Okay, I see none. Let us come before the Lord humbly, however you are comfortable doing so. If you kneel or sit for the Oh, most gracious Father, once again, we come to you, pouring our hearts out to you, thanking you for the love, the mercy, the grace that you shower upon us. Father, we could be here all day giving thanks and praises to you, for there isn't a minute that doesn't go by that you aren't in the midst. Isn't it, we as Christians, we as children of you should realize that we are so blessed to have a God that's on duty 24/7. You never take a day's rest, you never take a vacation, for you are about watching over your children. Father, now our list is long. We have many who need your healing touch. Father, we will just go through the list, and you know each and every need, each and every care, each and every concern, and we just put it into your hands, Father. Father, we think of Francis. We think of Wanda's sister-in-law. We think of Paul Versnickel, Judy's niece, Kelly. Father, please touch her with healing. Father, we think of Stan Sandball, of the Baker family, Miss Dolores, the Peters family, Miss Pat, Ralph, Bob, Steve, Kermit, Jerry's List, Kyra, Father, please keep your healing hand on her after her accident. Woody, Father, we think of Pastor Becky, who's mourning the loss of a husband this day. Father, may she feel your loving arms wrapped tightly around her. And may she know that we are praying for her peace and understanding in all of this. Father, we think of our government leaders. Father, much could be said, but you already know what's needed. And as always, we just ask that you would guide them, that they would come to you for counsel. And Father, where those are stubborn, like the great kings of old were stubborn and wanted to do it their way, you turn whatever they do for harm, you turn it to good. For the good of your children, Father, for you are the Almighty. You are the beginning and the end, and we place that in your hands. Father, this church, we call it our church, but it's your church. And we're your children. Father, we just ask that you continue to keep this church doors open. Father, that we may go out and spread your word. The good news of Jesus, Father, to those who do not know. Father, our prayer is that you send us a good shepherd to watch over your flock. Father, we think of our schools this day. You know, Pastor told me just Thursday night there's nothing new under the sun. That's true. But boy, Father, I for one am having trouble understanding everything that's going on. So I just ask that you be in the midst of the schools. You keep our children safe. And where there is something that's not up to your standards, Father, you eradicate it. Please, Father, get the school boards on track. Get them back to you. Father, we think of our salvation for our families, Father. For there are many that don't have that care yet. They think, oh, there's plenty of time. But Father, there's no better time than this present time. So Father, we just pray for our family members and our friends that do not know you on a personal level. We ask that if you can even use us in their path to change them, Father, you guide, direct us, and give us the know-how and what to know, what to do, and what to say to change their hearts. Father, now we just want to lift Pastor Larry up to you. We are looking forward to his sermon, and we know that his words will flow freely. They will be your words. And I'm sure he's worked diligently this week on the message, and we know that you have guided him. So, Father, we just ask that you be a blessing upon him and a blessing upon his dear family. And as he stands before us, Father, open our hearts and our ears so that we can partake of your sweet word. Now, may we unite our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Our scripture today comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9.
Yeah.
Oh, I did that the other week. Thank you. Now may we sing a hymn. Please sing. I don't know why. I just skipped that hymn. Here's a thing. I guess I'm so anxious to hear Brother Larry's sermon. I don't want to waste time.
Thank you.
today comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, and the sermon is Winning Over Worry. I need that one. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Meditate on these things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Now let's give Brother Larry our undivided attention.
Thank you. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be with you. I didn't look back to see what year it was when I was here for revival, but it seemed like it's been ages and ages and ages. And so when the opportunity came to come and share with you today, I was really excited. So thank you for the invitation. I've been retired from full-time pastoral ministry just a little over a year now. I was pastor of the medium for 30 years. And last year, 2021, I turned 70. I celebrated 50 years in the ministry and 30 years of Bermudian. So it just seemed like the numbers were coming together, 30, 50, 70, that it was a good time to step back from full-time pastoral ministry. But I prayed, Lord, I'm not ready. If it's your will, I'd like to keep preaching and teaching. So if you'd open the opportunities. And as always, our Lord was so faithful. In this past year, I've preached at Church of Brethren, of course, and Covenant Brethren, and Assembly of God, and Church of God, and Methodist, and Mennonite, and Presbyterian, and Lutheran. It's been amazing, and I've really enjoyed it. So it's really good to be with you. I want to start, before I get into the heart of the message, have two thoughts. One, it is a little intimidating to follow Dr. David Jeremiah in preaching. That's a little something. But a quote from the Sunday school lesson this morning with Dr. Jeremiah: being a real Christian will soon cost more than most are willing to pay. You hear that? Being a real Christian will soon cost more than most are willing to pay. How? But, of course. And then I heard you talking about the Operation Christmas Child boxes, and I love those too, and I always tease the folks at Bermudian, if it takes you three rolls of duct tape to keep your shoebox shut, you're putting too much in. But we love those, and we love the thoughts of those children in those foreign lands that don't get many gifts. We love the thoughts of being able to put a smile on their faces. But recently I was down in Boone, North Carolina with Covenant Brethren leaders at Samaritan's Purse headquarters. We are entering into a working relationship with Samaritan's Purse. And I heard a story about the shoeboxes that said they made me feel I'll never pack a shoebox the same way. I'll never feel the same way. And it comes from Ukraine, where that terrible war is going on, and so much suffering. And Samaritan's Purse, and of course, I probably all know that's run by Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, and they do the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes, but they do much more. They do disaster response, and they may remember during COVID they had a field hospital in New York City, and they have several of those around the world. They have one of those on the Polish border with Ukraine now. But they wanted to get aid into the people who are suffering in Ukraine. Ukraine. And here's how they were able to do that. When you pack those shoe boxes, first of all, I wonder if you know, everything you put in that box has to come out of it. It requires thousands of volunteers in three or four centers around the country, and every shoe box is open. And everything is taken out to make sure some nut doesn't put something in there that shouldn't be. You know, make sure that there's nothing in there that's going to get damaged during shipment, or liquids and stuff. They tell you not to do it, but they have to check. And so every shoebox is going through. And then when it's put back together, a copy of the story of Jesus is put in the language of the child where that box will be going. And then when the boxes are distributed, the children are invited back for a 12-week course called The Greatest Journey. It's kind of like a Sunday school program for the children. And of the millions of those shoeboxes that go out all over the country, about 40% of the children say, yes, they'll come back for that teaching on Jesus. And about 80% of those that come back make a confession of Christ. And for every child that makes a confession of faith, 4 to 8 additional people wind up coming to Christ, their family, their neighbors, their friends. And so churches are started through those shoeboxes. 1,000 churches a year are started because of the shoebox ministry. Because of shoeboxes that were delivered years ago in Ukraine and churches that are planted there, now Samaritan's Purse has a network of local pastors and churches to help get millions of dollars worth of aid into the most difficult. And we heard the story of one Ukrainian pastor who drives an old Toyota Corolla. And he cut the front bumper off that Toyota, cut the bumper into 4 pieces, welded that bumper together, and his wife then put on straps to make a bulletproof vest for himself. And he drove to the Polish border, filled that little Toyota full of relief supplies, and then drove into some of the most worst areas of fighting and suffering to get the aid to the people who need it. All because you put some toys in the shoebox. So don't ever stuff those shoeboxes without thinking about, yes, smile on the child's face, that's precious. But that we're doing gospel work when we do that. We're doing evangelism when we do that. And children and families will come to Christ, and churches will be planted, and ministry will happen. All because we put those toys in the shoebox. So it's pretty amazing. And just thankful to be able to meet with the folks there at Samaritan's Purse and love that ministry. When I was a little boy, I grew up this is the mid-1960s, grew up in rural northern York County, a place not so far from here. It seemed to be a time with no worries. Do you remember those days? I could be gone for hours at a time, maybe most of a summer day, and my mom didn't worry at all where I was at or what I was getting into. My buddies and I would be playing baseball or football in a vacant lot, or exploring the woods behind our house where we built forts and play among the trees. It was just a short walk down to the Yellow Breeches Creek for a swim or to go fishing. A little bit longer bike ride to the little village of Lisburn where we would collect empty soda bottles along the road and trade them in at the general store for 2 cents deposit. Come away with enough always for a soda and a little bag of penny candy. The gang of us would pop in for lunch at whosoever house we happened to be playing closest to. and bologna or peanut butter sandwich was usually what was on the menu. Or if we were real lucky, the mom might fry us up a hamburger and serve it on two pieces of white sandwich bread. We drank water from the garden hose to wash it all down. Life was good. There were no worries. And I liked building model cars. I still do today a little bit. And I could buy a model at G.C. Murphy in Mechanicsburg for $1.49. And I liked reading a magazine that was popular for teenagers in that time. My mom didn't really like me to read that magazine, but she didn't forbid it. Maybe some of you will remember the goofy-looking boy with the messy hair and the missing tooth looked a lot like me and my buddies. And his famous tagline. Remember Mad Magazine? What? Me worry? Yeah, it was a time with very few worries. In just a few years, I'd graduate from high school in 1969, and by then a lot had changed. Vietnam War raged then, and I lost quite a few friends to that war. And the crisis of drugs had emerged, and I lost quite a few friends to that war too. Never again would life seem quite so worry-free as it did back in those childhood days. Today, worry may seem as common to all of us as each day. COVID certainly caused us lots of worries. Finances, as we raise our families, can be worrisome, especially in these days of inflation and $5 gas. A broken government, I've heard that mentioned several times this morning. We're so aware of that. A broken government, a grossly divided culture, broken standards of morality, things we never thought we would see accepted, now the norm. Cancer, heart disease, diabetes, the loss of a loved one. What would this world be like for my children, we wonder, and my grandchildren? I'm blessed with 5 grandchildren. The youngest one is 4, and his name is Jackson. And the oldest is 22, and he's in Hawaii in the Air Force. And I wonder, what's this world going to be like for them? What kind of world is little Jackson going to grow up in? And what about the church? The growing plague of apostasy. That's the biblical word that means falling away from the truth which God gave us in His Word. It's well prophesied in the Bible. It shouldn't surprise us, but it's so hard when we see it in most of the major denominations now. Oh, there's plenty to worry about, isn't there? I believe it's okay and right to be concerned about these things. But you see, worry has a way of disabling keeping us from focusing on what's really important. The late, well-known preacher, Spurgeon, said it so well, "Our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths." Say that again. Our anxiety, our worries, do not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. So today, as you've heard, my message is winning over worry. And we'll visit the Philippian church. We read a passage from there. And hear some words from this letter, the letter to the Philippians that the Apostle Paul wrote. He loved that church so much, but yet he had some words for them as an antidote for them to overcome worry. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into it. Lord, what a blessing to be with the dear folks here today. Thank you for this congregation, for their long and faithful history, but for their faithfulness today and in these days, ministering and serving. It's not easy today for so many of our congregations, especially small congregations, but they stand strong and they stand for the truth. And I ask your special blessing to be with them. Lord, now as we would open your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present and that your Spirit would be our teacher today. Let this poor messenger be way in the background and your perfect truth be what's front and center. And Lord, by your Spirit, would you open our minds and our hearts to hear from you and from you alone. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Wonderful name, holy name, mighty name. Amen. Let's set the stage a little bit. The church in Philippi was one of Paul's favorite churches. The word joy appears over and over and over again. We sometimes call this New Testament letter the Epistle of Joy because of that. After his wrangling with the problems of churches like the Corinthians, the Philippians were dear to him. That doesn't mean the Philippian church was without trouble. You see, there are two sisters in this congregation. They're leaders in the Philippian church. And they're having a major fight about something. The word doesn't tell us what they were arguing about. It's distracting the congregation from its mission. It's causing great worry to those good people, these two sisters wrangling in the congregation. And so the first thing that Paul does is to call out Euodia and Syntyche to work it out. Disagreements in any organization and in the church are normal. Hey, we're human. We're fallen human beings, right? So the organizations we're part of are going to reflect that. And it's not unusual for there to be those kind of issues in church. But as followers of Christ, we must be committed to not letting disagreements between us sidetrack the church from its mission. Paul says to those ladies, the sisters, work it out. And then Paul gives the congregation and to us an antidote in four steps for worry. The first thing he says is rejoice and remember. Listen again to verses 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Dear ones, here's a great truth. And it can be life-changing. That no matter what worry, no matter what stress you are facing on any given day, no matter what you're living through that's causing you worry, no matter how serious, if you will pull yourself out of the stress, and I know that takes discipline, but if you will pull yourself out of the stress and think about how faithful God has been to you in the past and rejoice in his faithfulness, it'll help you through your worries of today. It's one of the reasons why God gave us his word as he did. Why do we have all that Old Testament story? It's because there we see God's faithfulness. There we see God answering prayers. There we see God fulfilling his promises. And if he did it there and then and for them, he'll do it today and now and for us. And he's done it for you. He's done it for me. And so when the worries press in, if you just pour yourself out and reflect a bit, remember and rejoice in how faithful he's been in the past, it'll help. Jeremiah of the Old Testament is referred to as the weeping prophet. We name him that because of the second book in the Old Testament that he wrote, the Book of Lamentations. As he writes that book, Lamentations, Jeremiah is dismayed at how his people, Israel, have strayed from God, from following God faithfully, and how now they are paying a price. They are being overrun. God is allowing foreign nations to overtake them as a discipline for them not following him. And the prophet who has warned them about this is now watching, and he's filled with worry and dismay. It's bad. And he weeps for his people. And yet, in the midst of his lament, in this book, Lamentations, in the midst of his lament, he remembers how faithful God has been to Israel in the past. And he writes words about that. And centuries, centuries, centuries later, the hymn writer Thomas Chisholm would take those words from that oddly named book, Lamentations, from the weeping prophet. Chisholm would take those words and turn them into a hymn that would become a favorite for so many of us. We sang it earlier. Great is thy faithfulness. Can you imagine from a book called Lamentations, from a book weeping about God's people under punishment, come words that we love to sing, great is thy faithfulness. Sing it with me. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. When you're going through great stress, when you're really burdened down with worry, gently remove yourself from that stress for a moment and remember how God has been faithful in the past. And rejoice in his faithfulness. That's the first step, Paul says to them. Second, he says, pray with persistence. Verses 6 and 7 of our text. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, dear ones, in the midst of great stress and worry, it's easy for us to forget one of the most important spiritual resources that we have at hand, prayer. And Paul's not talking about a little prayer here. This isn't God is great, God is good. This isn't now I lay me down to sleep. If the worry is great, the prayer must be great. Amen. If you think our nation's in really, really, really bad place, and it sure is, folks, then it ought to be calling on us for some really, really, really great prayer. On your knees kind of prayer. On your face kind of prayer. With fasting, with tears, days of prayer, nights of prayer, praying alone, praying as couples, praying as congregations. Match the depth of your stress, match the depth of your worry with that depth of prayer. I love the way the Living Bible paraphrases this verse. Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. And you know well Paul's admonition to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. If the stress the devil is throwing at you is persistent, and that booger sure is, stress the devil is throwing at you is persistent. My goodness, church, our prayer must be persistent too. Now, every time we share in an anointing, we remember the words of Jesus' half-brother James. The Amplified Bible puts it this way: the heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or believer can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Let me read that again. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. That's James 5:16. Brothers and sisters, you have big worry, then big prayer. That's Paul's second step. His third step is pretty simple. No stinking thinking. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I don't know if you know my brother and pastor and songwriter, Gilbert Romero. Gilbert was a California drug dealer. Fell in love with a little white girl in high school. She's been raised by her brother and grandmother. And grandma took a look at Gilbert and said, if you're going to date my granddaughter, you have to go to church with us on Sunday. And he really loved the girl. And so he went. A little tiny brother church, not any bigger than this one, in San Francisco. And they loved that boy. This group of white, mostly older folks loved this young Hispanic drug dealer. They loved him to Jesus Christ. And he gave his life to the Lord. He actually later would be pastor of that congregation. And today he has a wonderful music ministry and a wonderful ministry that I've traveled with down into Tijuana, Mexico, to some of the poorest of the poor that live on the landfill there. And that's his favorite line, no stinking thinking. It describes when we let our thinking about wrong things control our lives and emotions. Dear ones, it's poison. Whatever we immerse ourselves in will control us. If we immerse ourselves in worldly entertainment filled with immorality and perversion, guess what? Guess what's going to start to feel normal? If we immerse ourselves in the counsel of those who would dismiss God's word, dismiss that God even exists. If we immerse ourselves in the counsel of those kind of folks, guess what? When we fill our minds with the thoughts of how hopeless and miserable my life is right now, if that's what we fill our mind with, guess what? But if we fill our thoughts and mind with thoughts of how wonderful our God is, how beautiful this world He has created for us is, how He has blessed me, how He has helped me, how powerful He is, how gracious He is, how blessed I am to be His child. If that's what we fill our hearts and minds with, guess what? Old wise King Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And in this computer age, computer programming has an expression, garbage in, garbage out. These computers we've become so dependent upon are only as good as the programming that has gone into them. And if programming with virus and stuff has been put in, then guess what? We have trouble getting anything good out. It's so true for computer, and it's so true for the human heart and mind. Paul's third step in his antidote to worry is no stinking thinking. And finally, his fourth step we find in verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. His fourth step is to listen to leaders. We live in a noisy world. There's a whole lot of clamoring for our attention. TV and radio news media. Speakers, authors, and commentators of all kinds and stripes. And who we are listening to can greatly add to our stress and worry, or can calm and reduce our stress and worry. Paul says to the Philippians, you can listen to me, Paul, and trust and follow what I've done. The question, I guess, then remains for us. So who do you listen to today? And the counsel is to find preachers and teachers, to find authors and writers, persons who lift the Lord, persons who honor God's word as true and unchanging, and listen to them. Test what they say and teach against Scripture, and listen to them and follow what is true.
Amen.
I love the thought as you consider the call of a new pastor that you're having this time to ask questions. My golly, you better. But I've seen churches through the years not ask the important questions and then have heartache because of it. So good for you. And I bless that process. And I pray you'll take it very seriously. Listen to leaders. Leaders who will speak from God's word, who stand for the absolute unchanging truth of God's word. And Paul reassures the Philippians and us that if you do that, you'll find peace. And see, that overcomes the worry. And we remember that Jesus promised, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's John 14:27. He has given us faithful men and women to lead us. David Jeremiah is the one. He's given us faithful men and women to lead us and show us his ways, find them, listen to them, follow them. In this past year since I retired from Bermudian, on the Sundays that I don't have a preaching assignment, which aren't too many, I visit a lot of different churches of various sizes and denominations, mostly small churches that I know to be conservative. And I have found faithful, dependable servants of God's word in every place I've visited. If I'll listen carefully, even if perhaps they aren't the most dynamic speaker, they've studied and they've prepared, and I can hear something through the Holy Spirit in their message that blesses me. And I go home with a quote or two that's going to carry me through the week ahead. Listen to leaders, dear ones, worry is real. When my Lord sweated blood in Gethsemane, there was some legitimate worry there. He knew what was ahead. He knew what the Roman scourging was like. A person beaten so bad that their internal organs were visible from the outside of the body. He knew how Roman execution by crucifixion happened. That a person literally suffocated to death under their own body weight. He knew how agonizing the steps ahead. And in that stress, in that worry, he suffered from the medical condition called hematidrosis, where the small capillaries in the forehead area, under severe, severe stress, burst and blood mingles with the sweat. I've heard some teachers say that worry is sin, and I disagree with that, because my Lord worried and sweated blood. What is important is what we do with the worry. Worry, I believe, is a natural and normal human emotion to things going not very well, to things going bad. It's not a sin to worry, but what's important is what we do with the worry. Jesus trusted God to alleviate his natural tendency of fear and worry about his upcoming execution. He trusted God, put it in God's hands, and God helped him to win over worry. And he will help you too. He will. My father was an excellent tractor mechanic. And his dream was to have his own business. And in the 1950s, up along Route 15 near the town there, Dillsburg, he finally saw that dream come to fruition. Had an international harvester dealership there and was quite busy. Took on a business partner as the business grew, and that didn't go well. And through the misdeeds of his business partner, they had lost everything. We lost our home, a home he had built with his own hands. Everything he worked so hard for was gone. And then my mother developed heart disease, and Dad lost his wife when she was just 49. A tractor accident, when a tractor slipped off a jack and crushed his foot, almost had him as an amputee. But I never saw him worry. I never saw him give up hope. He worked hard. He rebuilt his life. He built a new home with his bare hands again. He remarried a wonderful Christian woman. He taught Sunday school and served the church. He loved the Lord and trusted the Lord and lived to the age of 90, trusting. Apostle Paul gave to the Philippians and to each of us clear guidance for how to win over worry. Remember the four. One, rejoice and remember. When you're going through difficult times, remember how God's been faithful in the past and rejoice. Two, pray with persistence. Big worry requires big prayer. Three, no stinking thinking. Remember that what we fill our hearts and minds with will impact how we're feeling and reacting. And four, listen to leaders. God's given us great men and women who trust His word and teach His word, and they can help us so much for the journey. Rejoice and remember, pray with persistence, no stinking thinking, listen to leaders. King David wrote in Psalm 55, verse 22, turn your worries over to the Lord. He will keep you going. He will never let godly people be shaken. This is the Lord's promise to you. May He grant you, each of you, victory over your worry. Amen. Some of you have been around long enough to remember the old red Brethren hymnal in the room. There was a hymn in there that was based on these words of Paul here in Philippians 4. It's a hymn that I love. It never became widely popular, and I'm not sure why, because I think it's an excellent, excellent hymn. Those words and music by an F.E. Bellman. And I'd like to sing it for you and listen carefully to the words and how much they're based on what the Apostle Paul said. Look for the beautiful, look for the true. Sunshine and shadow are all around you. Looking at evil, we grope in the night. Looking at Jesus, we walk in the light. Look for the beautiful, honor the right. Think of the beautiful, think of the true. Thoughts like an avalanche sweep over you. Keep not the multitude, sort them with care. Sort them with, excuse me, let me start that verse. Let me put on my glasses so I can see. Think of the beautiful, think of the true. Thoughts like an avalanche sweep over you. Keep not the multitude, sort them with care. Testing by purity, purging by prayer. Think of the beautiful, think of the fair. Talk of the beautiful, talk of the true. Tongues full of poison are whispering to you. Answer them not with a tale-bearing word. Only in blessing the voice should be heard. Talk of the beautiful, talk of thy Lord. Live for the beautiful, live for the true. Lifting the fallen as Christ lifted you. Search for the jewels embedded in sin. Bring them to Jesus, His blood washes clean. Live for the beautiful, keep love within. Lord, worries are real in this culture. see our government degrading, where we see morality failing, where we see your name being dismissed, your word being laughed at and ignored. Worries are real in our humanness when cancer and heart disease, diabetes, so many things inflict our health. Worries are real when we need to say an earthly goodbye to a loved one and when you're about the future. Worries are real as we think about our precious children and grandchildren and wonder what world awaits them. Lord, you don't condemn us for worry any more than you were condemned by the Father for sweating blood in Gethsemane. But you extend your love and grace to us with the promise that you will see us through worry and that you will turn our worries to peace if we'll just follow your pattern. If we'll remember your faithfulness. If we will pray and be in communication with you, especially and in big ways when the worries are great. If we'll keep our minds clear from the influence of the naysayers and the doubters, and if we'll listen to leaders who will open your word to us, your timeless, unchanging, forever true word. We promise that if we'll do that, you will grant us peace. And so, Lord, on this day, we bring our worries to you, lay them at the foot of the cross, and ask for your help by your Holy Spirit that we might follow this good pattern that Paul has laid out for us to win over worry. Oh, Lord, I pray for each of these dear ones, indeed, winning over worry. Bless us now as we part for the morning. Bless us for the week ahead. Bless us in ministry and witness and in just the day-to-day living for each day in the week ahead. We thank you for our morning together. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house. We pray for the direction, your direction for this church. And we ask you to help us be part of your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We love you. We worship you. And we ask you to be with us. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you.